has a big nose? Yeah.
I have a big dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. Hi everybody and welcome to the FFS podcast. My name's Pete Coombs and I just wanted to give you a wee introduction as this pod is somewhat different to the way we normally format the pods, as in we have multiple guests. So back in January, the Backdrop Journal crew visited the Lynx Freeride in Kosovo and we had an absolute blast. Lynx Freeride is the brainchild of Sebastian Fleece, who is a complete entrepreneur and has started up the Lynx Freeride from scratch in a really, really backcountry zone that is way off grid. So we chat with Seb about setting up a startup in the back end of the Balkans, and then we run through and have a chat with his guiding crew. We catch up with Marko Darkov, who used to represent Macedonia in snowboarding. We chat with him on the mountaintops in the border between Kosovo and Albania. And then we have a quick chat with Mikey, who's from Queens, New York. And we play some of the music that we had listened to that the staff put on for us in the lodge. And yeah, it was quite a special time. I mean, it's a vast, vast area. And nobody's there other than some crazy locals at the weekend on sleds who just didn't seem to know quite how to drive them, and we're getting them stuck and rolling them down hillsides and lighting big fires and shooting guns in the air and just being pretty bonkers. But when they weren't there, it was just us. There's just 12 guests and you're there for the whole week. And we had a whole mixed bag of conditions, ending with some great powder down some tree-lined chutes, which was brilliant. And it was just wonderful to be back on the road again. The trip was in January and it's taken me a little while to edit the pod, just simply because I too have been on the road. I'm just back from a week with some of the Backdrop crew in the Picos de Europa on the north coast of Spain, which is a wonderful, wonderful zone. Again, it's quite far south, so the snow is a little bit hit and miss. But we found some snow and we climbed some peaks and there was plenty of crampons and ice axe action. It was pretty exciting stuff getting up to some of the ridges and the peaks. And then straight after that, I visited the town of San Sebastian, which is a surf town on the north coast of Spain, which was super cool. Great food, really cheap wine, loads of people surfing and riding around on bicycles with sort of in wetsuits with surfboards under their arms. Great vibe. And then a lot of the crew were trying not to fly this year, so we then took the train up to Paris for a night and then across to Geneva where I met my family, and we've just spent a week in Grimentz and Zinnau. Great to have the kids back on the slow again after having to miss last season with COVID and everything. And yeah, I was really impressed. They still managed to be able to ride well, and we got down a few cool wires and things and did some off-piste and stuff, which was, yeah, just great. Great being back in the mountains with the family. So anyway, sit back and enjoy the pod. We kick it off with myself and Marty Alton from the Backdrop crew speaking with Sebastian. And Sebastian is a super interesting guy with so much going on and so many ideas. He really is an entrepreneur of the finest quality because it's all snowboard related. So sit back, enjoy, and stay safe.
Rolls on. Easy, easy, easy. 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 Eas
mean, we did so much, man, since we first came here. You don't want me to tell you how it was like the first month here on the mountain. Like, nothing was working in the hotel. Like, the guys
this
coming,
season or just no, first in the season. Very beginning? Right, right.
First day, breakfast. We get in the same pot, like fig jam, ivar, and cheese, and I don't know, mustard, for example. Something like crazy. Like, every time, exactly the same, like two eggs with two pieces of this, and like crazy shit. And then
the
we had a lot of problems with everything.
I've stayed loads of places.
One night, we were like chilling around the fireplace, and the guy is putting the wood inside. And he's like, "Hey, we're out of woods." And we're like, "Yeah, okay, so one, two more days, three more days." Like, no, this is the last piece we have. Like, what the fuck? It's like minus 20 outside, and like it's 8 in the evening.
Everything here runs on wood, right?
Yeah. And we're gonna freeze till morning, just. And so in the early morning mission to cut the woods, bring him up with a snowcat, chop the woods. And it was like end of January, man. We have two more months really? Of winter. Oh. Then the first day here, none of the water was working like it should. Like, we fixed pretty much most of it.
But it's so remote. I think it's amazing that you've done it. It's amazing yeah. that they managed to do it and you yeah, managed yeah. to do all the rest of it, because logistically it seems impossible when I look at it. I mean, that's the whole job, isn't it? Just dealing with the logistics of being somewhere remote.
Yeah.
You do a good job of it, man. But you make it look good.
Beside all these logistics, for us the hardest part is to work with locals. they're so proud that it's so hard to work with them. You can't tell them like you should do this better and like change this. You need to do the inception, like that's the thing. How it starts a little bit, then in a year it becomes their idea. So when they propose it, it's
have to kind of like, it's their idea.
You need a year to implement something here. They made those like last season. First 3 years
wardrobes.
Was yeah nothing.
There was no wardrobe.
Oh.
And also like I don't get these fucking toilets. Fuck, man, I don't want to take the shit and take the shower at the same time, and I'm really having a problem that everything is wet and wrong. So just put some curtain at least or something. And
yeah,
now that they build a new house, and I was thinking like, okay, maybe they didn't knew then like some shitty standards. No, they made the same shit.
The
like,
same thing.
But to be honest, we expected something a lot rougher.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been in a lot of rougher places.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
always
yeah, yeah.
expect a bit of adventure, the food and the accommodation is all part of it. But it's been great. And to be honest, like, you only need that kind of level of food, like we do anyway.
Yeah.
Romy was saying he goes to, like, expensive heli operations in America and it's all gourmet food and they bump up the price with that. We're happy to just have the skiing.
Of course.
People who are happy to have the skiing, it's a great place to come.
When you have good skiing, you forget about everything else.
Exactly.
But when the skiing is not perfect, the other things should be a little bit up to... I mean, then pay attention to the other things more.
Yeah,
maybe.
Pay attention to the smaller details.
Yeah.
But I think if you... As long as the food, you know, is hot and filling and
yeah.
it's giving you the energy to get up the hill.
Yeah, it's good. No, I'm super
need,
happy. Like, all the guests are quite happy. Like, we had, of course, sometimes situations when... something was not working, but it's been a great week.
Really,
I'm doing great, a bit tired, but we had a first successful week behind us, and like, yeah, I'm happy. Everything is running smooth, just we need some more snow, like always, and all is good.
Yeah, it's been a great week.
Oh, it's been epic, yeah.
Amazing guides and the most amazing terrain. I mean, we can't really get our head around how good this place is. We don't want to tell anyone about it.
Oh, no, we got to tell everyone.
Appreciate it.
Do you want to tell us a bit about yourself before we talk about what's going down here? Like, how did you get into snowboarding? You used to... You're from Croatia, yeah?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm from Croatia. I was born and raised in Croatia, but somehow my father was into skiing since his early days, and he was, when we were growing up, me and my sister, she's a year younger than me, he would take us around skiing all the time. So little by little we got into the racing and we did quite well. Then I quit skiing when I was 14. I went into snowboarding, which never later was so serious as skiing before. My sister, she continued with skiing, so she was like a 3 Olympics. She competed in a World Cup like many years.
3 Olympics?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah, but I was like, kind of going in the other direction. So I did some competition in snowboarding, nothing really too serious on pro level. I never made a living out of it, so I kind of went. I also spent a lot of time on the island during summer. I love diving, so that's my second and maybe first passion. I know it's some here in between, but anyway, so I chased just summer for a few years. Then I got back on snow a little bit more. I got connected with TGR somehow, Teton Gravity Research. So yeah, I worked for them a few years, and that's how I discovered this location also.
But I think you're downplaying the snowboarding. You represented Croatia, no?
Yeah, I did. I did. I mean, I was not really, really good in this competition things. I was somewhere always in the middle or closer to the end. I mean, I couldn't afford that much training back then, like not more than 100 days on snow, so was not even close enough to be on the level you should be to make some money out of it. But it was really fun. It was really fun adventure. It was maybe the best time of my life, like doing these competitions, traveling around, and yeah, just having a lot of fun.
So what's the story with the Teton Gravity guys? How did that come about?
That was just a random how we accidentally met in Croatia. They actually, through their photographer, who had some connections with Croatia, they got in touch with the Ministry of Tourism, so they got them covered, and they were coming to Croatia to film the segment of the movie. It was called Light the Week, I think, yeah. And then I got a call from the Ministry of Tourism, from one guy there, like, hey, there's one crew coming here to do some documentary about skiing, about possible about Kostelić family and like our resorts and something. I was like, not really interested, but send me whatever you have. So I saw the TGR, it's about the TGR. I'm like, they're not making documentary about some ski racing family, probably. Not some, I mean, really, they're big, like, they like did a lot of big achievements, so not to get that wrong, and I really have a huge respect towards them, but they're not into these things. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do the tour with the guys. So I organized everything in Croatia, we kind of clicked, and then yeah, I proposed, let's do another trip next season. But so we did Montenegro and Kosovo, which I helped them a lot with the field producing and like organizing everything, scouting some locations. So yeah, we had another amazing journey, which is crazy now. Then after that, we did another trip to Kosovo. After that, we did a trip to Albania. That was for the Far Out movie.
And you were scoping out locations, and you came across the location we're at now.
Yeah, I mean, many years ago, I found some photos and somewhere online. It was really, really hard to get any information about all this mountain range. Like, you could get some information about Montenegrin part, because there are some good mountaineers from Montenegro who would post some photos on, what was the summit something was called.
Okay, some website or something.
Yeah, so never mind. Yeah, and so I got some idea about how it looks, and then I saw some photos from this zone where we ski now in Djeravica, from some local guys from Kosovo who went here for some ski touring trip. And I was like, wow, this looks interesting, might be some potential here. So when we were filming with TGR here in 2015 in Brezovica ski resort, then I organized to come here for 5 days, and that was my first look to Djeravica and my first visit to Djeravica. And I was like, wow, like, this place is amazing, like the nature. Like, back then it was way less houses, these holidays houses that are built now, and it was really, really good season with the snow. It was just like everything super hard packed, so we didn't do shit pretty much here, no filming at all. And then 2 days before we should left, we got like 1 meter and plus snow overnight, and the guy who was driving this old small snowcat was freaking out, and he's like, we go now down or we don't go down for next 7 days or something.
So I was going to say, how were you scoping the area out? On foot, or you came up
no,
on a snowcat?
We came with a small snowcat.
Like a real old one.
Yeah, they had, you know, like a municipality, I think they owned one, some old... I don't even know the brand.
Right.
Never mind. So yeah, we used that one to get up, and so we were ski touring and split boarding up here, and we stayed in one house from this local guy, and they had like just one room that had some heating on, so the guys were staying in this room, and we were staying like -15 in other rooms.
It was
an adventure. Like, it was really, really cool. But yeah, anyway, that when I came here then first time, I started to think about possibilities, that what we can do here, and about cat skiing. I mean, a good friend of mine, he's been running this cat ski operation in Macedonia, Eskimo Freeride, for years already, I think 12-13 years or something. So he kind of introduced the thing here to the Balkans, and pretty much in Europe was the first cat ski operation, I think. And I also was many times visiting them there, over there, and I got the idea, like, why not to do something like this here? The terrain is perfect, and I kind of didn't have some really big plan for my life.
You thought you better get your act together, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, and then, like, yeah, let's start that. And we kind of started really crazy, like, first season was so wild. We didn't even have diesel up on the mountain, so every 2 days we went down to the village, getting the diesel in the 20-liter tanks, and we had such a rough season, like more than 12 meters of snowfall. We had a like road blockage for a week because there was some mudslides over the road, so they had to clean with the excavator. We were walking down off the mountain. I mean, crazy season. So yeah, first two seasons were like really hard and heavy for us, pretty much doing a lot of exploring and some marketing. And then 2020, the third season, supposed to be the first really good season, but
right,
then yeah, it all went to shit with COVID.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been really difficult. Did you have any clients at all during lockdown?
No,
and COVID?
No. I mean, actually, we started the year without COVID, but there was the first season ever that happened that was no snow here. Actually, it was snow above 2,000 meters, but we couldn't even reach that point with the snow kit. So we had one group over here, which was really a shit show. We were pretty much hiking, trying to go anywhere with the cat. Maybe 1 or 2 days we got into the cat because we got like 30 centimeters of new snow. But other than that, we canceled all the groups. And then as it started to snow, then the COVID kicked in and everything was closed.
Got
so
you.
Yeah, we had like really shitty situation that season. We somehow survived, and the next year was again like everything sold out before the season. Then January, everything's closing again, like everyone's canceling. So we did something last season, but it was pretty much people who could drive here because all the airplane lines were shut pretty much. So we did something. We enjoyed the season. We had like more than 15 meters less year of overall.
15 meters of snow.
Right. It was crazy. Like, I first year when we were here 2018, I thought that's like super crazy, but then last season was
even more.
More. It didn't melt that much, and like, it was the 2018, we had a lot of big rains during the winter, like one day of really heavy rain which would turn into the snow, which was really good for the snowpack, and it was really good for us because it melted some snow, otherwise it would be buried.
You could get out of the hotel.
But last year we literally had to dig the tunnels to get into the hotel. Yeah,
I mean, this year, you know, we've had a mixed bag. So we arrived, there's good snow cover way down the valley, you know, much lower down. You know, we were driving in four-wheel drives for 45 minutes or so, maybe an hour before we got to the cat, and that was all snow.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started good, and then it got a bit warm, and it was a bit of a sun crust, and then today, you know, we've had, 14 runs down in the cat and 3,000 plus meters of descent in deep powder, and it's been absolutely amazing. Everybody's exhausted.
It was quite a good day, yeah. I mean, I'm a bit sad that we didn't get like at least 20 more so you could really relax and enjoy it, but it was really the best quality pow I can imagine pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cold. It's really cold. It reminded me of kind of Colorado snow.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of desert snow, not much water in it.
Oh, it's just flying everywhere. Just white smoke everywhere.
It's true. Today you couldn't see anything going down pretty
much. Every turn, every hillside turn, it was like
eating snow,
straight lining to pop back through, you know, so you could see again. Yeah,
super
brilliant.
Nice day.
It was brilliant.
I'm living for days like this usually.
And then, so you had friends, or you had help setting up the company from your friend who was running the cat organisation before. But I mean, it's quite a big step to just think, right, we're going to open up this region, this zone, and get cats. I mean, how did you, you know, get the funding? And I mean,
the beginning was the two partners were kind of borrowing us money to start the operation, which we had to pay back in 2 years. It was a bit of a struggle and so, but yeah, anyways, we kind of started it with just buying one snow can and building a cabin, and yeah, we didn't even have money to buy the first diesel when we got up here. Like, it was really kind of hard
start. See your pants.
Yeah, but I think like if you start like this, then everything is way, way easier in a few years when you get things organized a little bit and you kind of love. I already now love to that moment, and I hope I will in 5 years love to that moment where we are now, and like make another big progress, I hope. But yeah, I mean, it's that was it. We just got the money to buy a snow kit, to build a cabin, and we I'm sorry, I missed the word sometimes in English.
That's okay.
We organized a company here in Kosovo.
We founded the company.
And just started the job, and we didn't have any idea about laws, about anything. I don't know how we did get away without any fine
disaster
disaster at the end. Yes, so it was interesting. Looking from this perspective now, it's really crazy. I mean,
that's good, man. That's being an entrepreneur. It's cool.
Yeah, it's really like often still I'm thinking myself like, what the fuck do I need this for? Like, I mean, and then you get the day like today, and like, okay, this is why. Pretty much, but it was for me. It's maybe kind of a dream. Like when I was a young kid, I was doing snowboarding, always watching these snowboard movies, and for me it was the best thing ever to imagine, like to go anywhere like far into the back country, just stay in some hut with any without any connection, without any civilization, and just go and shred the area for a few days. So when I found this place here, I was like, wow, this could be it, and like, let's hope.
Have you got any idea how much sort of acreage or square kilometers or whatever
I do, but to be honest, I forgot the information, but I can
but it's big, isn't it? I mean, it's a big area.
I think, you know, I was sort of trying to figure it out, and we were talking with Romy. I think it's, you know, it's the size of maybe like a large European ski resort here.
Yeah,
it's a big.
It's
area.
A few, over a few valleys, basically.
Over a few
valleys.
At the moment, like
with no infrastructure apart from the hotel we're in and a few sort of half-built houses for the locals
and the cats. Trail made by Panda.
That's bashed out every day or whatever.
Yeah, we kind of really have a lot of terrain here. We are already open a lot of zones and like two big valleys, and I would say a few kind of smaller ones in around these two big. And but that's not the end. I mean, we have so much more to explore, and since we got the second and the third snowcat this year, we can take a bit more risk and go a bit further away and just open some new roads and explore some new zones. Who knows? I mean, in the future, maybe we also do some cat skiing trip with one night or stay like one overnight in some hut or something like this. I know.
Far from the lodge. Yeah.
But I mean, for the people who are listening, there's a lot of gullies. There's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
There's a lot of open, amazing, big open powder fields. We went touring the field coming down there. I was saying to Hamda, why can't we go up there today? But obviously, there's a lot of snow to break through. But you know, the terrain is just expansive.
Yeah, it's pillow
and
fields.
It's just like lots of gentle, lovely rollers coming down.
Playground is just amazing. That's my favorite, man. It's like the whole zone that we ski with the guests that we can easily reach with the snowcat, it's so playful, a lot of small gullies, natural hits that you can hit, big wind lips, like huge ones that you can also hit as a quarter pipe almost sometimes. And then you have this small zone that you kind of have to walk a little bit, hike a little bit to get into this pillow zone that Fabian guys took the other day, and like that's completely insane. That's like you can also go through these pillows without hitting them, but pillows are really for pros. Yeah, you can like it's
shoot
really
over the lot of them. Yeah, they're big.
Pillow
dreamland. Like Japan or something.
Yeah.
And is there any restrictions in the zone, in this whole sort of? I mean, it's the Accursed Mountains, yeah. So yeah. You could just you can go you could go into Albania, but I mean, is there any restrictions really on where you operate? I mean, have you got a tenure?
No, it's like pretty anything? Much. Yeah, we got this kind of, I don't know, is it approval or is it kind of long term concession? I know, is it that the word like that we got from the local municipality to operate in this area. Which is by not limited by a space or any restrictions there. Like there is like the laws about land protection here, and the national parks in Kosovo are still not done really well. Like there's a new government at the moment that's really, it sounds really promising, and I had a great meeting with the new Minister of Tourism, and I was so stoked after this meeting because I was talking to the guy who knows this area, like he's hiking this all these mountains in Kosovo almost daily, and he's really looking into protecting it and making some good plan to like reserve. Not really like just closing for everything, but kind of to be able to do some tourism still here and open it for the people, but keep it. So yeah, I mean, at the moment no restrictions are lost for us. I really hope in the future there will be some, because not only for us but for other people, because those mountains need to be better protected than they are now.
Right.
Yeah. And we've heard, you know, throughout the week, a lot of people talking about different plans and you telling us about different plans. Can you tell us about some of the future plans? Because some of them sound absolutely brilliant.
I mean, yeah, there is a lot of plans going on, but I... let's say I would start that we are now in the process of asking for some national land here to get in the long-term lease, like 50, 90 years, something like this, I don't know, and permission to build something here. Like that would be my dream, like to build one lodge up on the mountain, like where we can... First of all, we can stay, then have one nice garage and service area for the snow kits. That's like even priority for me, if you ask me, better than our own house here or lodge. But yeah, that would be kind of a dream one day to have our own lodge here. And I mean, just regarding the links, we decided since we started, that was the agreement since the beginning. I was super clear with all the partners, like, guys, I don't want to make like super shit money factory here that we're like doing this tourism, like 5-6 groups with 5-6 snow cats, what is often happening. So we decided in the beginning we're gonna stick to maximum 2 snow cats at a time, even though we had a huge zone. I'm like, I don't want too much people on the mountain in the winter, so that's our limit, and we are staying at this limit regarding the cat skiing. In the future, we'll for sure have some ski touring packages. We're planning to do some hut-to-hut ski touring, in the beginning just Kosovo and first valley in Albania. But then in the future, we hope to open the route across the Accursed Mountains through Kosovo, Montenegro and Albania. And yeah, of course, some just daily trips for ski touring from the lodge, of course. And one thing I'd really, really, really like to do, it's I'd like to do a really nice freestyle park.
Oh, here. Really?
Yeah, in Jerovica, and like from 1st of April till 1st of May, I would have freestyle camps for the kids here.
For the local kids?
No. I would just like build a super serious park and like have 1 month of a...
You've got all the experience here.
Yeah.
I know the... the cat is a specialist one for a park, and Marco's built parks, and
it's true. I mean,
Hamda's built parks, right?
Yeah, I mean, those guys can definitely help out, but these days with these big kickers that you need to build, it's became so serious that you pretty much need to have those guys who are doing it on a pro level, like using all the smallest measurement equipment to measure the angles and everything, angles of takeoff, landing and everything. And it's like not so easy. Like I did it 10 years ago when the kickers were like 12, 13 meters of flat. Yeah. Now I have kickers of 20 meters.
They're frighteningly big.
Yeah. It's like super big. And I'm still a little bit into this all kind of snowboarding scene because I'm managing Croatian national snowboard team. And we have these two kids in the team at the moment. One girl just got into the Olympics, Lea Jugovac. 2 days ago, we got confirmation, so I'm super happy and stoked about her and her coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And yeah, so little by little, we start to talk about this, and that's the other idea I'd like to do here in Čerovica. Because I'm still a kid inside.
Join the club.
Yeah.
And you got a small toe lift as well.
There's also some other thing that I'm, since I became father also a year ago, I'm like, can't wait to bring my kid here to Čerovica, but she's way too small. Not yet, this year for anything, but next year when she starts snowboarding or skiing, I don't know yet. I think it's way too small to go into the park, so I'll just bring my small lift for the kids,
make
and I'll
little groomer for
yeah them. I'll make one small slope for them, and my plan is to do at least 1 week of kind of family week, so where parents could come with the kids, leave the kids with the coach for a whole day to at the baby slope, and they go just get skiing. That's kind of, I mean, I'd like to do that if I'm in the situation, like, it's not so easy to go cat skiing if you have a small kid, you know, where you can leave him. And then you would like to take it also with you, maybe, you know, a kid can stay in the mountain and do some skiing and snowboarding, and you can still do your thing, which you like.
It's a great idea. I mean, why should it be so exclusive to a certain type of person? Like,
A certain age.
Yeah.
That's true. So, I mean, for someone who is so laid back, you know, and happy, it sounds like you've got so much going on. I mean, how on earth do you relax? Is it just getting on the hill, or do you...
getting on the hill, definitely. That and diving, like, I'm, like, so desperate to finish all the things that I need to finish for this season and all the documents that I still haven't got done, what I have to do. And then as soon as they finish this, I'm heading down to Albania for 3 days diving and just chilling on the coast, and then I'll be back to my normal. I think that's the plan.
Well, you seem to be coping with it all admirably.
I mean, there is a lot of plans. I also really, really like to do some kind of events here, like snowboard competitions, like, I know, something maybe like, I really like this Supernatural from Travis Rice. Natural Selection.
I was going to suggest, because that could be, this zone's so perfect for it.
I don't know. I mean, really, I kind of, when I look to it, I'm like, no, this is not good enough. That some people say, hey, might work. I don't know. We'll maybe have to call Travis to check it out.
Yeah, you could get him here. Yeah. Get him here to ride it.
Definitely.
But I mean, no, there's definitely scope, isn't there? I mean, there's, without a doubt, there's the terrain for it.
Maybe
you could have a sort of qualifying event.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah. One thing I didn't mention also, like, I also, I'm partner at Heliski Albania, and that's the other thing that we do in the same mountain area, just on the Albanian side in Valbona Valley. And yeah, from next year on, we'll try to combine as much as we can some cat skiing and heli skiing packages, and possibly having a drop off on the ridge on the border, and
up in the Albanian
also pick up.
I mean, we've peaked over into Albania on those ridges that you've taken us. We had an amazing picnic up there. We ski toured up, and then we had a sort of picnic, and like the guys brought beers to us on the ridge. I mean, super, super remote. It was like an awesome day. But yeah, those Albanian Alps, they look incredible.
I mean, that whole mountain area, it's like so sick, and there's so much potential, and it's like, once people discover it, they'll go crazy about it. Like, it's really completely wild, and you can find so many different things in this kind of small zone still, like from Alaska style spines to like almost like nice tree runs like British Columbia and stuff. It's crazy. Like, and then you have this special kind of trees, that pine trees, I don't know if they're pine trees, so I know how they're called, but they don't grow anywhere else in the world, like on the mountains. It's just so crazy, nature out there. It's really, really unreal.
Yeah, I mean, there's wolves, bears,
oh yeah,
lynx.
A lot of wildlife. I mean, here, yeah.
You see, you, on the drive up, you told us you saw wolves on the,
yeah,
on the trail.
I saw one in Valbona Valley, but just the guys, when we were coming up here first day, they saw a wolf on the road, which is not really strange thing here. It's like probably one of the best preserved mountains in Europe, and the wildlife is really, really good. I mean, they're really, really hard to reach, especially in the Albanian side. Like, this is this part of the Accursed Mountains that's stretching through Kosovo, it's kind of mellow part. You have this like almost hilly looking terrain, and like, yeah, some steep runs and steep peaks, but it's mellow compared to what's happening in Albania. And
really?
how it yeah, looks there.
And the access as well.
Yeah, it's
a lot
super
harder.
Heavy. Like, if you go skittering from Valbona Valley, your start point is at 900 meters. And, I don't know, first 4 hours, you have quite technical, demanding terrain to get to the hard ground. Yeah, where you can actually enjoy some snow. So, yeah, it's a perfect heli zone.
Yeah.
There's no place where you can take the snowcat up the mountains, because otherwise I would have already one there.
There's no roads, there's nothing.
No, there are some roads, but trust me, you don't want to take these roads even in the summer with the best vehicle you have. Like, they're so fucking
just
scary.
Death
yeah,
zone.
I know, they've probably been built for some smuggling back in the days.
Right.
And military, of course.
With regards to, you know, setting up your split board, sort of, you know, a split board program or whatever for clients to come, what's the next step? What do you need to be able to do that, do you think?
Here, split boarding. I mean, pretty much we're ready for this. We just need like one normal good season. Like, are we hoping this one's gonna be dead, so I get a little bit more time, maybe find another person who's gonna help me out with organizing all the things, and took some part of the job from me, and then I can concentrate of organizing some new packages such as split boarding.
Right, it's just the sort of marketing side of
yeah,
it, that you just need time to market it.
Yeah,
basically.
That's the thing. Not even the marketing is not an issue. Like, I'm quite well connected with the industry. We already have a huge fan base, like,
yep,
and it's easy to promote it. It's just like, I need to get more time to organize this stuff. Like, I haven't been talking with any sponsors yet. I don't know, so many things to organize. But yeah, like, after this season, I have more time, and I hope I have one person to help me out with everything, so I get to these things. Yeah,
you've got a big to-do list.
Oh yeah, like, I know, it's stretching through a few pages already. Every day something new comes. But yeah, it's cool to dream. It's a good place to be to dream, and then it's cool to try to make your dreams come true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, a lot of people dream, but a lot of people don't do, and you're definitely doing and dreaming. It's really inspirational.
Needs to try to do it. That's the only thing. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you do it, and
yeah,
but yeah, it's, if you don't try it, it's shit.
I mean, these environments, like, everything is against you. That's why I'm so impressed with the whole place, because it's such a harsh environment. But that's what makes it so special coming here.
Yeah.
It's wild.
The people are sometimes skeptic about it, like, oh, but it's far out. And that's all about, like, you know, it's just because it's so far out and hard to reach, there's nobody here. Like, all this week, I don't think we had any visitors here, like.
No, on Sunday there was a few locals
on the sleds,
but other than that, nothing.
Yeah, so it's
I mean, we were talking about it today, particularly from the UK, you know, if you travel to the Alps, you still don't ride that day, you know, unless you get a ridiculously early morning flight, you know, and your friend picks you up and drives you straight to the hill, and even then you're only going to get half a day riding
in.
So this was still a day, and then, you know, to get here, and it was a bit of an adventure, you know. It was exciting. You landed in Kosovo. It's a bit, you know.
For sure. I mean,
a bit rough around the edges, and there's.
It was a civilized day. Four wheel drives. It's not even like we got here late. We got here for a real nice dinner.
We got here. Had a few drinks.
Great.
Yeah, I remember it was like 5 o'clock by the time we got here or something. It was fine. Yeah.
Quite good connected to Europe. I mean, it's so close. It's in the middle of Europe, but like really in the Europe, like in the territory of Europe. Like there is another Keskin operation going on in Georgia, and so people kind of say, "Ah, it's Europe." But I'm not so sure if Georgia is in Europe still.
It's a sketchy one. That I was discussing that with one of the guys who we went to Georgia with a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I was saying the biggest thing is the time difference. So Georgia, it's a long journey. Yeah, you might get there in a day, but you're exhausted because you're arriving, you know, either really, really early in the morning, and then you're driving for many hours, particularly if there was a storm, as there was when we went. Whereas here, it's 1 hour. It's 1 hour time difference to the UK. And it's the same time as, you know, predominantly, well, most
Georgia,
of Europe.
If Georgia was in Europe, Mont Blanc would not be the highest mountain in Europe. And then the French would be screwed. No. So it's not
in I think it's
Yeah. One thing I just remember I'd really like to do, I'd like to be able to do and organize such things. Like, I'd like to have one snow kit ready just for kind of last minute operations when you can chase the good weather. Just because these days we live in the 21st century where you're so good connected and you can move around so quickly. So like you said, from London, you see the good forecast in the 3 days, there is a big snow jump on the flight. Have three amazing days here, go back to your work, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with booking any holiday that's, you know, snowboard related. It's like you're at the will of the gods. If you've got a week, if you're going for that week, who knows what you might get power every day, or you might get rain or sunshine.
And I
so
really, really feel bad when the guests are not getting some power. I'm like, I cannot control it, but still feel really bad.
No, you shouldn't be guilty because, you know, if anything like me, they just understand that you take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah,
you know?
we go touring a lot, so we sort of often expect like quite changeable conditions. It's completely fine. I mean, the question I was going to ask is like, did you set it up? Because I didn't realise when I came that you had guides who were on split boards and guides who were snowboarding. Did you set it up for snowboarders? Or was it just like that? Just coincidence?
No, this was pure coincidence that like all the my friends that are now here guiding are snowboarders, and we had some offers for some guys that are skiers to be guides here. But like we have like just this amazing crew, and I definitely would like to have some skiers as a guide here because it helps a lot. It's so much easier to guide on skis. Even myself, I'm thinking to get back on skis for the purpose of guiding on the shitty days.
On
the good days, I'll always snowboard, man. Like, it's like
it's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Like, if you ask me.
It's a great crew. Like, it's the one thing we've been super impressed with, among other things.
Yeah, they're super relaxed, aren't they? But yeah, totally professional. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, it was pure accident. That we had all the guides on snowboard, which I kind of am proud of, and
yeah,
I like
it. It's really different,
especially because a lot of people kind of thinks. I have an idea that more people kind of thinks it's a sketching operation only. I know when I got emails from guests, and so they're like, is there any snowboarders ever? Like, we're all guiding on snowboards. Or even from snowboarders, like, are there only skiers or is there any snowboarders there? So, yeah, I'm happy about it.
It does make a difference when you're guided by a snowboarder. Sometimes when it comes to lines and traversing and working out how to drop into things, I mean, you know, you can't get around it. It's harder to get around a mountain on a snowboard sometimes, you know, particularly if you're traversing a long way.
Definitely.
So it's great, you know, as boarders, it's great to have somebody that's sort of like-minded and can see the lines that they know you can make and hills you can get up and over and things, you know, because you don't want to be bootpacking through waist-deep snow.
Big plus for snowboarders, having a snowboard guide.
Yeah, but then in the same light, it's no hindrance for skiers because the skiers are going to be able to move the same way
completely
as easily. Yeah,
but anyway, sometimes it's really, really easier to be guiding on skis. Like,
if you need to go uphill or lift someone who's a bit large.
Yeah.
Or You know what I mean?
Or cut the first tracks when you traverse something. It's way easier to do it still on skis.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Marco was amazing.
Yeah. Marco is a great guy.
He's a top guy. The head guide.
Technique and splitboarding. I've never seen anyone so good. So it was great to just have tips from him. So he just had loads of tips that you wouldn't get from a ski guide. Although we've had like loads of great guides on skis, you know, that was just a really different thing for us. It was brilliant.
I think all of us are like into splitboarding about at least 8 years now.
Mm.
So yeah, I have some experience with equipment and stuff. I have to show you some pins to make your splitboard more stable, which you put into this place for your
edge. Oh, I've seen those. Yeah. You put them on the top of the deck. Yeah.
No, you just put them on the place where you usually put your bindings into the walk mode.
Okay.
So here, where your binding is
kind
of moving, then you have this long pin which you goes through all four holes.
Oh yeah.
It kind of adds
rigidity.
Locks it in.
I could do one of those.
Yeah. it's brilliant. Yeah. That's like helps so much.
Really?
Yeah. I've just got a Furberg board which has a tongue and groove in between the 2 feet, and I haven't been out on it yet, but the rigidity is amazing.
Oh, nice.
You put it together and it's just got this, it's only really small, like a few millimeters, but it just bonds the board together.
Oh, cool.
Really?
I'd like to see that. Yeah,
it's pretty bonkers.
Nice.
Well, look, you know, thanks for taking the time to speak to us, and the best of luck with everything. I mean, I would say, you know, with the season, but it's just, you've got so much going on. I think you need more luck than just that.
Yeah.
We'll be back to check out the tour room. We'll be back to check out the kids' camp, definitely.
Oh, I'll be so super stoked to have you back here, guys.
Please let us know. It's been
really amazing week. I'm so glad that we started the season with your group, because it's been so easy, and like everyone was just smiling all week and happy, and like not a single negative look or thought or anything. It was just an amazing week. Thanks for being here guys.
Oh well, thanks, everyone's had a blast, you know. Stay safe, man.
Thanks Hope to see you soon on the mountains, and I really hope you get some nice snow until the end of the season, a bit better than this week here.
Yeah, we will. Don't worry, we will.
Cool.
Just skinned for about 3 hours, and we're now sitting on a ridgeline which is in between Kosovo and Albania. And it was quite a mixed bag of snow on the way up, but I'm here with Marco, who's the head guide for Lynx Cat Skiing. How you doing, Marco?
Oh, good. How are you, Pete?
I'm sound, mate. A little bit out of path. I'm a bit more tired than you, I think. You seem to cope with that.
Did you join the tour up?
Did I?
Enjoyed the tour?
Oh, I really did. Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was really mellow, really
a mix,
quiet.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, we had some frozen ocean, soft snow, and some ice, and a boot pack, and some ski crampon action. But so, Marco, do you want to try and explain quite where we are? Because it is absolutely stunning. You can probably hear a bit of background noise from the rest of the crew that are having their lunch in the distance. But Marco and I just sat on this little outcrop, and we can see for miles, and I can hardly see a man-made thing. Could you tell us kind of a little bit about where we are?
Yeah, we're like straight on the ridge on the Kosovo-Albania border. Like, we're probably into Albania.
Right,
just
okay.
Below Gushan Peak, 2360. We're like looking straight forward to Macedonia, to Albania, and to Kosovo, like the wildest mountain range. Like, as we're sitting here on our vast right, we can see Valbona Valley and what they call the Albanian Alps.
Okay.
Alpine terrain. Straight from us, it's Korab Mountains, like the mountains that border Kosovo, Albania, and Macedonia, which is also the highest peak in Macedonia. It's 2,750. And a little bit more on the left, we can see the Shar mountain range. We can even see Brezovica, biggest resort here in Kosovo. And we're standing right across from Sulpica Valley, which has this dynamic playground terrain, like endless playful runs.
Is there any infrastructure? I mean, I know you mentioned there was a resort in Macedonia, but is there any resorts in...
Where we're here, there's no resorts or a man-made thing or anything, except those small sheep houses that we can see down the valley over there. There's nothing. So like the perfect playground for tourists, you know, heli operation or cat operation here, as we do.
Yes, it's quite an operation that you guys have got going on here. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the terrain? I mean, we're staying in a hut. I mean, my journey, I had to change planes from the UK to get here. I had to change in Geneva, flying to Pristina, and then yeah. It's quite a drive, 2-hour drive maybe from Pristina. The roads are pretty good though, they're not too bad.
Yeah, they're okay. Like when you arrive at the nearest village in Yuning down in the valley, then, you know, where the fun starts, as we say, because it's a trip coming up here, you know, because we're so remote, we're so far out in the mountains. Like we have to take our, you know, our 4x4 Jeep, Nissan, big ones, you know, with the off-road tires and everything. You know, we staff you up, we go halfway up, as long as the Jeeps can go. Yep. Then we change, we go into the cat. Then we drive with the cat all the way up to the hotel, which is elevated on 1,700 meters, which is a totally self-efficient hotel. It doesn't have any electricity. I mean, there's no power line coming up to the valley here. So it's a totally self-efficient. They have a water turbine running the electrician, a small generator and solar power, which is really good.
Yeah, I mean, we're completely off-grid, and the internet's not been working. We keep promising that we might connect. And everybody's kind of a bit stressed for the first few days, and then you just completely detune and you don't even want your phone.
Yeah, that's what we say. We have this package, a digital detox package. Yes, so we
definitely hitting the mark.
We skip from our daily use of our phone, you know, just we go back to analog time.
Yeah,
it's good. Because there's no cell reception, let alone internet or anything.
Yeah, it gets the conversation flowing, doesn't it? A couple of wines, and that's good. And then, I mean, the last few days we've been riding the cat, haven't we? And we've had some mixed terrain. We had some lovely stuff in the trees yesterday. And the first day we had some good snow. It's got a bit of a sun crust on it now. Fingers crossed for some more snow later in the week.
Yeah.
But you really have got some big lines and some cool walls.
We have a little bit of everything for everybody. For every type of skier, snowboarder, for every single guy, girl, we have covered. Like we have it from the big lines that anybody wants to ski to tree lines that everybody find different wide open spaces, dynamic wide open spaces, a lots of gully, a lots of couloirs. Yeah. A little bit of everything for everybody.
Yeah,
that's how we take it, you know. We take it slowly with the groups on our first couple of days. Let's say the first day we take it slowly, like we do the heavy training.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, but a complete heavy training so everybody knows what they do, and we take them on the fields. Then, you know, we try to see how the group reacts, how they ski, how they do, so we know what to do as a team later on with the group later in the
week. Just in case something happens,
Yeah.
And then, I mean, because the only avalanche mitigation is realistically by you guys, isn't it? I mean, you're not blowing anything. You're just staying the season here and watching the snowpack grow and learning the terrain and seeing where the slides are common. And I mean, even the forecasting, there's no real forecasting.
We don't have an avalanche.
We haven't got the internet, so we can't even get the forecast.
Yeah, we had to tour up 2 hours to get a connection, so we had to check the forecast. So we go down to the hotel and tell to the clients, this is the forecast for the next days.
I mean, one thing I would say about it is that unlike the cat boarding or cat skiing, whichever way you want to describe it, that we've done previously, it's predominantly been one day, and you're kind of stressing and trying to get as many lines in one day. And here it's much more chilled, isn't it? We can sort of, you know, relax, take some photos, do some lines. We know we're the only people here, no one else.
No one else will ride our lines because it's us, you know, the maximum 12 people per week.
Yeah.
And the guys, and it's just that.
We have
such a terrain to cover the 6 days of skiing that we offer to our clients. So you would, in perfect snow conditions, you would ride a new line every time.
Every time, all week long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we did have was on Sunday, wasn't it? We had some
we had some locals
on some sleds. Yeah. Well, we had some locals on some sleds.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing, shooting guns. And, I don't know, just being
shooting guns,
being nut jobs,
being their own, you know.
Yeah, being wild. And then, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Where did you grow up, for instance?
I grew up in Macedonia, in Bitoland, Macedonia, North Macedonia. I grew up there.
Is that a mountainous region?
Bitola is situated just below a big mountain. The peak is Pelister. It's 2,600 meters high.
And there's snowboarding? No. You were skiing and snowboarding as a child?
I was skiing from a really young age. I started from the age of 3. I was skiing up to 16. Then from 16, I changed to snowboarding. And then I'm snowboarding still.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm still keeping the ski skills when we're on the split boards.
Yeah. And was there a resort near you? I mean, you say you were near a mountain.
There was you can call it like a small hill with one person, one chairlift. I mean, it's not a resort, but that was the only thing that the town had, ski and everything.
And did you have brothers, sisters, any big family?
I have a big brother.
An older brother, yeah.
But my family is like non-sport related, so they don't do
it. It's just you.
No. they from, generations in the back, nobody was a sports guy with anything. So I don't know, from a really young age, I just love doing sports, It shaped my life further on.
It's amazing.
To be what I am.
When you, I mean, it's similar to me. No one in my family had ever skied or snowboarded or done anything. Yeah, you just
even
get the bug.
In the UK, I can imagine.
You find it. Yeah. I mean, we got a good scene in the UK, but... And then, you're underselling it. So you used to represent Macedonia on the snowboard, yeah?
Yeah, I was the representative for the freestyle snowboard team of Macedonia for the slopestyle bigger than halfpipe. I was competing for them for quite some years. And now, unfortunately, there was some changes and they stopped funding us and I had to move. I mean, I wanted to stay in the business. I wanted to do anything I can to stay in the business. So I had to move to the Alpine team and be their ski tech. Yeah. But big shout out to the Alpine team. They were doing a really good job and still doing a really good job.
Right.
Yep.
And where were you training? Was there parks built for you? Or could you do it in Macedonia? You have to build your own jumps?
Yeah. The one resort I was working in Mavrovo in Macedonia, when I was working there, because I was grooming the resort, so I had the opportunity to build one small park with a couple of jumps and jibs.
Okay.
So, but it was basically when I was there, the only place. Otherwise, we had to go to the nearest place, which was Slovenia, that had a park, or Austria, and that was really expensive for us, that's why.
So it's not like...
It's not like the Alpine guys, because they can train, on just the groom pest and everything.
So they can stay local.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then when did you start getting into split?
I think I got my first split board. I couldn't reckon 2013 or 2014. I think I got my first split board, a present.
Right. Someone bought it for you?
Nah, I got it as a present. It was a used split board.
Right.
I got it as a present from a friend from Bluebird Mountain Lodges and Adventures, which were our first clients on the Kadski operation that I worked with. And we just went on a long friendship and he just gave me his first split board because he was, we would always go on tours. I would always carry my snowboard on my backpack and, boot back up always, trying to catch up with the split boarders.
He was still getting out in the backcountry, but on foot.
The hard way up, yeah. Wow. And I got my first split board then started, completing it slowly, year by year.
Right, gaining experience. And, I mean, you're a qualified guide?
Yeah, I'm a qualified UEAA mountain guide. Yeah. It's a really nice course that they started doing now in Macedonia.
Okay.
Yeah. The trainers or the mentors that were doing the course are trained and mentored by the IFMGA guides from Slovenia.
Yep.
And UEAA decided to open a commission in Macedonia and around the Balkans, so we don't have to, because before we had to travel all the way, nearest to Slovenia.
Yep.
In order for us to get a license or anything. It was really, convenient when they opened up in North Macedonia that we could do the course. I mean, the course itself, it's pretty strict and it's a long-term course. They're trying to make it short. It's a two-week course, but you learn so much in the 2 weeks. And if you pass the course, then you need a lot of experience building until you get the license.
Yeah, sort of a logbook almost. You have to log tours and things.
How many tours that you did, where did you do it, how many climbs, what ascents, descents, all with details written down.
And is it less expensive to do it in Macedonia than it would be?
It's less expensive to do it in Macedonia.
So that's a good thing, yeah, because otherwise you need to...
Yeah, it's connected to the...
To the value of the pound or whatever, or the currency, the local currency.
Yeah, it's connected. That's why... It was also really, really convenient to do it there.
Yeah, because things are cheap here. The average wage here is really low, isn't it?
Yeah, it's around 250 euros a month.
Yeah. I mean, I must admit, I wasn't sure quite what to expect because, I've ridden in Turkey or, the Eastern Bloc and and stuff, and you come to Kosovo, and I mean, it was, you know, it was a war not too long ago. I mean, when did the war finish? It was,
it's still 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years is not that long. Maybe if you're young, but yeah, if you're as old as me, 20 is not that long ago, yeah, you know?
I am young. I don't remember the war, actually.
Okay, right.
Some parts, you know.
But, you know, it was still, I mean, and Kosovo is a relatively new country, yeah?
Yeah, it's. I think it's figured the 2000s, 99, 2000,
yeah.
I think. So
yeah, it's so it's only country, had independence for just over 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's inexpensive, and even the price to do a week's package here is, you know, it's like maybe paying for 2 days in British Columbia without accommodation and stuff, or even a day.
With the top
guide. And the cats are new, they're comfy, they're good, the guiding's excellent. The AVI course we did, you know, I couldn't fault it. There was nothing, I mean, I was learning things, there was nothing I could personally add to it. So, you know, it's better than expected, and the terrain is epic.
I'm glad that you like it, and the group likes it as well. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's happy. We're all happy.
Perfect.
We just need a bit more snow.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for Thursday night, Friday. We'll get some sick powder runs.
Yeah, let's hope so.
We get the big boards out, big skis out, everybody.
Let's do it. The powder sticks. And then what are you thinking? What do you do the rest of the year when you're not here?
When I'm not here, like when we usually finish the season in April. Then I have like 2 months off,
right.
So like half of April, May, and let's say half of June, I have my months off.
Yep.
So I use it as much as I can for travel. Now with the restriction and everything, it's a little bit less, but I tend to travel as much as I can with my van. I'm inside my van, I pack
on the wheels?
Yeah, I'm on the wheels, I pack like the proper dirtbag lifestyle. I pack everything, I pack my bikes, I pack snowboards, I pack surfboards, I pack sails, I pack everything.
Oh, really? Wow. Big van.
We just go, you know, go wherever the road takes us, whatever we think. And then at the summer, I work as a windsurf instructor in Croatia.
Right.
So, same again, just something to get the adrenaline going and something to make me happy while I'm working it and also pay my bills.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And have you got a house anywhere or just the van?
At the moment, just the van.
Just the van. Yeah.
We're renting a place, but at the moment just the van, let's say it's our permanent home.
And when you look out, like, you know, it's obviously it's a podcast and nobody can see, but we really are just as far as we can see in all 360 is just wild mountains with nothing on. And do you think that there's a massive scope to not to develop resorts but just to develop splitboarding business maybe here, little tour, little huts?
I mean, the terrain here is endless.
Yeah.
You know, tricky for the cat skiing operation because that's why we're based on this side of the mountains.
Right.
Because it's really, you know...
Because there's an access road, even if it's
a convenient,
away.
Accessible thing. So the heli operation, Heli Ski Albania, also those guys are doing a really good job in Valbona Valley. But, you know, in future times, we're always talking about, you know, expanding the touring and splitboarding mode here. Because you can see, I mean, okay, the guys listening can, but... As you can see, there's so vast terrain for splitboarding and ski touring, you know. But just to go, you know, just to hop from one valley to another, you know, camp where there are open huts in the valleys, you know, just camp over there, then continue the tour up.
Yeah, you could do in a hut to hut easy or a tented trip.
Yeah, like
super cool.
Like a 4 or 5 day trip combined with a 2-3 day trip of cat skiing.
Yeah, that would be bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
But
I guess with
future
the cat,
packages that we've developed.
You're just thinking about that maybe.
You know, a young company at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's this, the third season?
For me, it's the third season.
This
for
Lynx
Freeride, right, it's the fifth season.
Fifth?
Yeah.
Okay, so 5 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was chatting to the cat driver and he was saying, you know, if we break down here at the top of the mountains, this is where we have to mend
this
it.
This is where you have to fix
so
it.
So the only
thing,
you get the parts, you bring them up in a skidoo or in the other spare cat, because there's two cats. Yeah. And
it's really tricky working space.
I mean, even the hotel's self-sufficient with the electricity and everything, but you guys have to be multitask. You've got to mend the cats, you've got to mend the skidoos, you've got to be able to drive the skidoos,
guide the
guys. everything. Service people's skis, help them out, you know, keep happy.
That's why we're so happy that we as a team are who we are at the moment, you know.
Connected.
You know, we're multitasking, every single each of us, you know, and that's where we try to stick as a team as much as we can.
Yeah, everybody's pulling their weight. You can see it. Everyone's pulling their weight and everyone's happy.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So we're sitting in the guide's house, which is a beautiful cabin next to the Lynx Catski Hotel. And we've got a raging fire going. And we're having a chat with Mikey Reen, is that right?
Yeah.
Hi, Mikey. And I'm with I'm Pete Coombs, and I'm with Marty Alton from the Backdrop crew. And Mikey, you're a bit of an anomaly here because you are not from this region at all, are you? Can you tell us where you're from?
Originally from New York, Queens.
Okay, and what are you doing? You've got a little business in Queens, have you, in the summertime?
Yeah, yeah. Me and my buddy have a couple beachside concessions and then a restaurant by the beach. And it's a great, you know, summertime gig and allows us to snowboard and hang out in the winter as much as we can.
That's great. It's great. And when you were growing up in Queens, were you a skateboarder?
Yeah, but not a very good one.
Yeah, there's jeopardy involved in skateboarding. Isn't
yeah.
It? Yeah, it hurts. I was just wondering where you got your sort of sideways sliding from, you know, because you want a split board or you want a snowboard.
Yeah, we grew up surfing. My dad was a big surfer. So every year since I was born, we'd spend, you know, maybe a month in Puerto Rico.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're down there now. So.
Are they? Well, okay. Yeah. Oh, you'd go down in the, like in the...
He was a firefighter,
winter,
so he'd
southern like, hemisphere, so it'd be nice weather down there in the winter time, or you'd hit it in the summer?
No, we go in the winter, yeah. And it was just in the Caribbean, so it's...
Well, okay, yeah.
It's not a long flight from New York.
That's a region of the world, I really don't know.
So yeah, yeah.
So forgive my
geographical
mistakes.
It's an easy flight from New York, which is cool. And my dad was a firefighter, so he'd always just figure out how to get like a month off. So
it's wicked. And then... And then you used to ride, what, in the East Coast resorts?
Yeah, Hunter Mountain, New York, Mountain Creek, New Jersey, pretty much the mountains that we grew up on.
And what got you to, I mean, I know you travel a lot, but, you know, how did you come across Kosovo and how did you meet the Lynx guys?
I reached out to Seb this past summer and we started chatting and I guess I kind of reached out at a time that he was like, oh man, we really need extra help this winter. And it kind of just worked out. And I really wanted to come and hang out in this area and check out these mountains. And what better, you know, chance to actually live in them and get to know them.
So what was your first impression when you got here, when you arrived? Because obviously, like, you know, we had a certain idea of what it was going to be like. Did you know much before you got here, or was it a surprise, the sort of remoteness and stuff?
You know, I usually go into things pretty blind and optimistic, and it works out, and this is one of those occasions that
these
guys are really awesome, and the area is awesome. And
But have you worked in Europe before?
Yeah, I spent a winter in Slovakia, in the low, between the low and the high Tatras Mountains. Mm-hmm. Liptovský Mikuláš was the town. Jasno was like the resort there.
I was going to say, yeah, Jasno's up in there, actually. I went on the train.
Okay,
from,
yeah.
Is it Bratislava?
Yeah.
Got the train from Bratislava. That was quite cool, actually. It was an amazing train journey. It was really beautiful. And the carriages, the rolling stock, were really old school with these sort of wooden curved seats. And there was a fire on the train.
When you were on it?
Yeah, nice. We had to stop. It was really eventful journey. But I remember Jasna being...
Luckily, we're not being paid by the Slovakian tourists.
Yeah. Well, not yet. Yeah, it was quite an eventful journey. And I remember having really good snow. And, you know, it's cheap. The beers were cheap and everything. It was a good place to go learn, actually.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I took some friends of mine who'd never boarded before, and they had a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I remember our last day in town, I was working out there with my friend Cole, who's also a great snowboarder I've known for years in the States. Decided to come out with me on a whim and work out there. And like our last day in town, we're at the train station, like about to take a train to Prague. And there was like this guy that had like kind of ski clothes on, so he seemed, you know, whatever. And, you know, kind of gave him like a nod because even there, you know, you don't see too many like skiers around on the trains and stuff. And he was like, oh, like you're the American guys. I was like, oh, like have you heard good things? And he kind of just shrugged.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Like, okay.
I've heard things.
Yeah.
You're the American bomb.
Yeah. No, that was a cool experience though.
That's cool. And what do you think is the scope for sort of expansion here? I mean, you've got the Lynx cat ski operation. They've got two cats. I mean, they're running only one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have two cats and some sleds or skidoos. And, you know, there's limited accommodation. And I mean, there's a lot of sort of houses that seem to have been built almost as summer houses, like for people to come up and hunt, I guess.
Yeah.
And hang out. I mean, what do you think the sort of the region's got as a sort of ski?
I think
snowboard like future.
The in region in total, or like this
well,
area?
No, this area in particular, maybe the region in total. Yeah.
I mean, I obviously there's a lot of potential here, but I think one of the coolest parts is how small and intimate it is now, and I'm pretty sure that from what I've overheard, like that's kind of like the goal is to keep it like small and intimate, not. You know,
I'm getting offered some chocolate snacks.
Yeah,
that's what the rustling is.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean it's really niche, isn't it? It's quite a journey to get here, and then once you're here, it's you know, you have to be self-sufficient. I mean, how have you found that? You know, having to be multi-talented and multitasking, and I mean, if the cat breaks down, you've got to mend it where it is, and
yeah,
pitch
I mean,
in. I mean,
I've had jobs where it's like you kind of just have to. You know, figure the stuff out. Thank God we have like Hamda and Marche that have dealt, and Danny too, that have dealt with way terrible cat things that I've heard stories about, and I'm sure he'll tell you. But yeah, no, I mean out here, it could take like 2-3 days to get a part that you might need, and I think it's awesome that there's, you know, two cats now. I'm sure that makes it so much easier for you guys.
Three in the end.
Three in the end, yeah. There's one in town too, right?
Oh yeah, eventually.
We can break it for spare parts.
Spare parts, yeah.
I mean, anything we need, we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these mountains, like you guys saw when you get up to the ridge and you like look over into like the Albanian Alps proper, and what is it, Valbona Valley area? Yeah, it looks like a lifetime of exploring over here.
It's epic. I couldn't believe how big it was. I mean, you could just fit so many of the big ski resorts into that area in Europe. It was just enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing there. Like, empty.
Yeah, there's really a scope for...
And I, honestly,
not just the cat operation, but also for touring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, overnight touring or even hut to hut, I guess, if there's...
It's like the true wild, and hopefully it stays that way, because... Most of the world doesn't really seem to value like true wild places that much anymore. So,
yeah. I mean, I guess there's not too much restrictions in. I'm led to believe that if you live in the region, you can build a house here. You don't even have to buy the land. I think is that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think it just seems that
you have to be local, and then your father needs to be.
Somebody needs to know someone. Yeah.
Yeah, some people that know some people that know some people.
Which is, I guess, what it comes down to everywhere in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But some places around the world, you get illegal paperwork.
Yeah.
Wicked. And then what do you plan to do after season? I know the season's pretty fresh, but have you got any plans for...
I mean, if it was totally up to me and I had unlimited money, I would just go to South America and keep skiing. But... no, it depends how fast I have to run home for work. Usually it cuts in a little bit too early into the winter. And, but usually with, you know, good opportunities and work and stuff. But no, I'm hoping to hang out with these guys and maybe have like a little staff week and explore and do cool stuff. And
When does the season end here?
Early April. Yeah.
And if you could get to South America, have you... snowboarded down there before?
No, I haven't been to the Southern Hemisphere.
Right.
Still been checking off the boxes in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah, no, I honestly, same as I said before, just going blind with a lot of optimism and
hoping for the best.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
Usually works out. I mean, most people you meet that like to slide down snow with things on their feet are usually pretty cool people.
So, yeah, they're like-minded.
Yeah, for sure.
They like gravity.
Doesn't really matter what language you speak or where in the world you might be. Like, there's going to be cool people that like to ski and snowboard.
Yeah.
No, you lucked out, man. Yeah. Me and Pete would easily spend a season here. If we could.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.